at a really big statue, and he was very puzzled by this statue. Maybe you remember his military campaign against Jerusalem. Maybe you remember that King Nebuchadnezzar himself set up a big statue that he ordered everyone to bow down and worship. Now, Nebuchadnezzar was king of Babylon, and we learn about him from several books of the Bible, including the book of Daniel. One chapter in Daniel tells us about an incident in Nebuchadnezzar's life. He was walking around his city. He was checking it out. He was thinking to himself, hey, this is a pretty good city. He was boasting about his own power, how he had made this city, how it was for his glory, for his majesty. This was all his own doing. And then God struck him down with madness. And he lived out in the fields like a wild beast for about 12 months. It rained on him, his hair grew long, and so on and so on. A man proud of his own achievements, a man drunk, perhaps, with his own success, with what he had done, and he was struck down. This incident in Nebuchadnezzar's life is a warning about the danger of prosperity and the danger of success. And so is this morning's section of Deuteronomy chapter 8. Now, just a reminder of the context of Deuteronomy 8. This is within the second speech that Moses gives to the Israelites while they're on the plains of Moab on the verge of entering into the promised land of Canaan. And in chapter 7, last week's chapter, Moses reminded the Israelites that God chose the Israelites not because they were the most numerous of peoples, because they weren't, but because of his love. God chose them because of his love. And he also said again to them that command that they were to drive out the wicked nations from the land of Canaan. So, on to chapter 8. Have a look at that first section there, verses 1 to 6. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase, and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years, to humble you and to test you, in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and revering him. Moses repeats another one of those lines which we've heard before as we've worked our way through Deuteronomy. The command is to obey so that they will live, so that they will multiply, so that they will inherit the land which God swore to their fathers. As you may have noticed, Deuteronomy is a repetitious book. There are phrases that just keep on cropping up over and over and over again. And this is one of them. Be very careful to keep the commands. And Moses tells them to remember what happened to them. He gets them to recall their 40 years in the desert, to think about the lessons from that desert experience. So why were they there? Why were they there those 40 years in the desert? Moses says it was God's purpose to humble them, to test them, to see if obedience to God was in their hearts. God fed them with manna in the wilderness to show them his providence, his fatherly care. It taught them that life isn't just physical. It's not just about bread or food, but rather life comes from God. What comes from the mouth of God is life. Do you remember that Jesus quoted this verse in answer to the devil when the devil tempted Jesus to turn stones into the bread while Jesus was in the desert. You might also remember that in John's Gospel, Jesus tells the crowd that he is the bread of life. If you want life, you must go to Jesus. It's a bold statement, particularly if that crowd remembered what Moses had said to the people in Deuteronomy 8. Life comes from God. And then Jesus comes along and says, life comes from him? Jesus is God. Jesus is the giver of life. It's an extraordinary claim, but one that Jesus backs up in his teaching, in what he did, in his resurrection from the dead. And so if you want life, then you must go to Jesus. Moses reminds them of another way that God provided for them. He gets them to think about their clothes. He gets them to think about their feet. Their clothes didn't wear out. Their feet didn't swell those 40 years that they were wandering in the desert. And this time in the desert was the discipline of a father to a son. Their time in the desert was hard, but it had a purpose. It wasn't meaningless. It wasn't random chance which put them in the desert. It was loving discipline. And this is how God treats his children. Maybe you're having a hard time at the moment. The situation that you're in is a trying time, and you're not quite sure why it's happening. The author to the Hebrews reminds us to endure hardship as discipline. It's difficult, but this is how we know that we're children of God. It's the sort of thing which forms and strengthens character. And so while it isn't pleasant at the time, it bears good fruit later on. And the Israelites are to keep the commands, those commands being summarized as walking in his ways and revering him. Moses restates the point that he was making back in verse 1, chapter 8, verse 1. And then he continues in verses 7 to 10. Have a look at that, verses 7 to 10. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. See, Moses adds another layer as to why they're to keep those commands. Remember in the last section he said, remember the lessons from the desert. Remember your experience in the desert, those 40 years. And then why are they to obey, according to verses 7 to 10? Well, listen to the sort of land that you're going into. Listen to the sort of land that you're going to inherit. Moses describes that land for them. And remember, they've been wandering around in the desert for 40 years. They've been eating manna for 40 years. They've been in the desert. They haven't seen green things. They've seen low shrubs. They haven't seen vegetation. They've been wandering around in the desert. And so, what Moses describes for them, that would sound wonderful. It's a bit like being able to eat proper, tasty food after you've been sick and on a bland diet. The first piece of a juicy steak when all you've been eating is plain toast and water. Listen to how good that land sounds. It's well watered. It's full of all sorts of trees and grains and fruit for eating. It has metal resources. It is a land of plenty. This is the land that you're going to possess. This is the type of land it is. The very goodness of the land is one of the motivations for the Israelites to be obedient. And so Moses says, when you're in there and you're full of food, praise God. Praise God for providing for you and giving you such a good land. You don't deserve it. Rather, It's because of the promise God made to their forefathers. Chapter 8, verse 1. Praise God for those things that he gives you. And so for us, that's something for us as well, praising God for the good things that he gives us. Obviously, we're not in the promised land. I mean, some of you might think Australia's pretty good. You know, maybe it is the promised land. I don't think so. Jesus is preparing a place for us in his Father's home. We're looking forward to that. But in between, God has put us in a prosperous and beautiful and peaceful land like Australia. He's given us houses to live in. He's given us food on our tables. He's given us family and friends. Praise God for the good things that he gives us. And praise God too for keeping his promises. Those promises that he promised to the forefathers of the Israelites. His promise to Adam. His promise to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. His promise to King David. His promise to us. But as is often the case, good things get misused or misunderstood. Have a look at verses 11 to 14, 11 to 18. 11 to 18. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you, so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant which he swore to your forefathers, as it is today. Moses sounds a strong warning. Make sure you don't forget the Lord and act disobediently. When you get to this good place, this good land, this fertile land, don't forget who put you into this good and fertile land. See, Moses describes an extraordinary prosperity. Houses, livestock, wealth. But with that prosperity comes the temptation to forget God. The heart becomes proud, which is another way of saying getting a big head. And so, rather than thinking about the kindness and generosity of God, the Israelites think about themselves and how good they are. So Moses reminds them again just who it is that they aren't to forget in verses 14 to 16. God, who rescued them from Egypt. God, who provided water for them in the desert. God, who protected them from the venomous snakes and the scorpions. God, who provided manna for them in the desert. The Lord God and what he did for them. They can't forget those lessons from the desert experience. Prosperity and success are dangers, because they can lead to reliance on self rather than God. You see, why would the Israelites need God when things are going well? Their houses are fine, they're building fine ones. Their crops are growing. Their livestock are multiplying. They're getting more silver and gold. In fact, everything is multiplying. What would they need God for? With prosperity comes the danger of forgetting God, of relying on self rather than relying on God. And that temptation to forget God is no different for us in the 21st century. People become prosperous. People find that they have no time for God. prosperity ends up being a distraction from knowing and loving God. It's what Moses was getting at here in Deuteronomy 8. It's what Jesus was getting at when he said that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The temptation of prosperity and success is to then forget about God. Maybe you know people like that. There are people that I grew up going along to church with as a teenager and as a university student and then as a young worker. And they're no longer Christian because of success, because of prosperity, a job that paid very well, a comfortable and enjoyable lifestyle. See, when you're successful, when you're prosperous, you don't need humility, you don't need grace, you don't need God. It's the thorns, the weeds that Jesus spoke of when he told the crowd the parable of the four soils. So how do we guard against it? How do we guard against it? I mean, it's true that there are some extraordinarily competent people out there and also here in our church. I think we need to see ourselves as God sees us. Pretty small, pretty small, but worth saving. Pretty small, but worth saving. See, remembering what God has done for us in Christ. Salvation. Being transformed from an object of God's wrath to being the object of his love. Being adopted into God's family. God giving us his Holy Spirit to dwell within us. I think it's also never tiring of hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, which reminds us that we're sinners saved by grace. I'm not sure if you've noticed when famous people get interviewed, very often a question or an answer that gets given is, this person is very down to earth, or how do you stay grounded? This person is very down to earth, which is a positive quality, I think. This person hasn't forgotten his or her origins. They haven't got a big head, even though they are good at sport or acting or business or, you know, whatever it is that they're particularly good at and why they're being interviewed. Do we remember our origins, where we came from? We were slaves to sin. We were slaves to death. But now, through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we've been freed to be slaves to God. Now, there's a second reason coming up for what's the danger of prosperity and success. It's there in verses 17 to 18. Moses puts another scenario before them. It's another case of someone getting a big head. But rather than focusing on the prosperity itself in terms of houses, livestock, wealth, the focus is on power. My power has caused me to gain this wealth, has caused me to gain this prosperity. Moses' answer is, well, actually, no. It's God who gave you the power. God is the one who gives the power. It all comes from God. Your financial acumen, or your sporting prowess, or your academic ability, or whatever competency you might have, they all come from God. And as the Lord has given, so also the Lord can take away. These things aren't ours by right. They're gifts from God. So if you happen to do well, make sure that the glory and the praise goes to the one who really deserves it, God. Remember our New Testament reading from today, the parable of the rich fool. He thought he had life made. He thought he was all over. He thought, I've got these big barns, I can just kick back, everything will be all right. I can just kick back because I deserve it. But then what did God say to him? You fool, this very night your life will be demanded of you. How can we be rich towards God? You see, from that parable, would the rich fool have been okay if he'd just given his money away, if he hadn't built the bigger barns and just given away all that stuff that he had, if he hadn't been self-indulgent with his money? Is that the answer? Well, the answer is no. Just like you can't buy your way into the kingdom of God, so also you can't give away your money to get your way into the kingdom of God. You and I can't be rich toward God. We're unable to do it. That's why Jesus had to die. We can't do it. Real life, real prosperity is found in Christ. Life in right relationship with Him is the real thing. And it may be that God does give you success along the way. God may bless you in that way. And if He does, thank God for His kindness and don't forget Him. Our last verses for today, verses 19 and 20. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. The last warning in today's chapter is really very dire. If they forget the Lord and follow other gods and serve and worship them, they will certainly be destroyed. Just like the nations before them, just like Sihon, just like Og, in some senses just like Egypt, they will be destroyed. If Moses had made this warning to them by writing them a letter rather than speaking out loud to them, it would be all in capitals, it would be bold, it would be double underlined. He really wants them to pay attention to this. He wants them to take this warning seriously. It is an extremely serious matter. Moses says, you know, remember what happened to those nations before you. They were there. They saw the destruction of those nations. That's what will happen to them if they disobey. Dealing with God is a serious matter. It's not a game. It's life and death. But then, as we've been reminded, if you want life, you must go to God. Go to God for life. The warning is severe. But God's goodness, God's grace, is also great. Don't fall into that trap of prosperity and success. If and when God gives you good things, thank Him for them. Praise Him for them. And remember, above all else, what God has done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the reminder of Deuteronomy 8 to remember You, to remember the good things that You have done for us, for the salvation that You've won for us in Jesus Christ. Father, thank You for Jesus. Thank You that He died and rose to life so that helpless sinners like us can have forgiveness and life with You. Father, we pray that You would guard our hearts and minds against the trap of prosperity and success. We pray that You would help us to have thankful hearts for the way that You give us abilities and gifts. Father, we pray that You would cause us to be people who always seek to give You the glory for the good things that happen in our life. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand as we sing our final hymn for today.